This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Thus the Pharisees phrase their protest against the mercies of the Sacred Heart, which extend even unto us sinners also. They have an odd echo in the otherwise silent canon of every Mass. They are the only words the priest says aloud, this reference to us sinners. The Pharisees were astounded, but it is quite true. The priest puts himself among the sinners. He admits it, and he raises his voice above a whisper to sort of a half-loud tone and says, at least loud enough for the clergy who are near the altar in the sanctuary to hear, striking his breast, nobis quoque peccatoribus. As he does so, he strikes the breast in imitation of the good thief. This is the fifth prayer after the consecration. Many who were present Good Friday at Calvary, when they saw what happened, the wonder of it, as they went home, struck their breasts with contrition. And we, as he eats with us, we today must imitate them. And as we do so, we may well think of the good thief, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The priest acknowledges his own sinfulness. Originally, this was a prayer for priests. An appropriate thought today. A new one has just been ordained the other day, and old ones are counting their anniversaries now in their 40s. Priests are preeminently God's servants, though they are sinners too, as are we all. St. Bernadette's last words, priez pour nous pauvres pécheurs, pray for us, poor sinners. So the celebrant admonishes the faithful to join with him in a penitential spirit, imitating the good thief, striking his breast, crying aloud, so that we may merit to hear our Lord's response to Dismas, the wonderful Hodie, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And thus, so much as to anticipate heaven, we name the saints, some of them, who are already there, with whom we want a share, some fellowship, not on our own merits, but hoping in the multitude of thy mercies. This is Sacred Heart Sunday. A share with thy holy apostles and martyrs. We can't help thinking today of Saints Peter and Paul. It's their solemnity. They've already been named, of course, in the first list before the consecration. But they qualify par excellence as forgiven sinners, big sinners. And they ought to fill us, their stories, with hope. Hope in the multitude of God's mercies. St. Peter, what is he depicted with? What is his symbol? The keys. We just heard about the keys from our Lord in St. Peter's Gospel. I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That represents the power which Christ gives to his vicar on earth, his Pope, to open and to shut the gates of heaven. That's why it's important to figure out if there's a pope anymore. For if there is, he must be, by Catholic doctrine, preaching the truth. And you must be obeying. Yes, it's just that simple. St. Peter's keys, though, also suggest two keys which will infallibly open heaven. I mean, confidence and contrition. Put another way, repentance and trust. These are the keys given to each one of us, and they open heaven. The celebrant in this prayer, this sinner's prayer, you might call it, the priest's prayer, he goes on to name 15 saints, citizens of heaven. First comes John the Baptist. He's in his own category. We're still in this great saint's octave. He was not an apostle. St. John is the last of the prophets, the last of the Old Testament priests. He is the living link between the Old and the New Covenant. He prepared the way and pointed out the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And then his job was done. Oh, but he was a martyr. He is the martyr to matrimony. This desert-raised ascetic lost his head, gave his life to defend the sanctity of the marriage bond. It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife, boldly, he told King Herod. Marriage, of course, is just for men and women. So afterwards, we have a list of seven men and seven women. The women, they must not be forgotten. The ones named in the canon, of course, are all martyrs. And the first list, before the consecration, overlooked the ladies, save for Our Lady. The first man named in this second list is Saint Stephen. The word means the crowned one, and he's the first martyr. He represents deacons and charitable work and speaking right up for Christ's divinity and for Catholic truth. And they stoned him to death. And Saul, who is going to become St. Paul, was right in the middle of it, holding the cloaks of St. Stephen's murderers. Matthias next. He was an apostle and a martyr. He's the humble one who was left out the first time around in the canon. He was chosen to replace Judas. And then Barnabas, he's an honorary apostle. He was a fixer-upper by nature, and his name means son of consolation. Next comes one more pope and martyr, Alexander. He's added now because he added one phrase to the canon of the Mass to say when the consecration first occurred. That is to say, the day before he suffered. Next, a priest and an exorcist, Peter and Marcellinus, they joyfully cleared a spot in the forest for their own beheading. Then two married women. First, Felicity. She's a martyr and the mother of seven martyr sons whom she urged on to their crown. The martyr Perpetua was a married lady, a noble woman, and wealthy, and she was a new mother, and that must have been hard. Next, the virgin martyrs, Agatha and Lucy and Agnes and Cecilia. They were all young. None of them were out of their teens when they died for Christ and most were around 12 or 13, not much older. There's an example for you. Agatha and Lucy were from far off Sicily, and they get named first as a sort of a gesture of hospitality to welcome the guests to Rome. Then comes Agnes, she's the pure one, always depicted with a lamb. She was from Rome, as was Cecilia. She's the virgin bride who converted her husband and her brother-in-law. She's in charge of music and poetry. They all left wonderful stories of their witness, which are read in winter on their feast days. Last of all comes the Christmas saint, whose name means Easter. Anybody know who that is? The widow, Anastasia. She took care of her priest who was in prison, the confessor Chrysogonus, and she was persecuted for it by her pagan husband, and finally martyred by the government. There, the church says, that should cover just about every group, one way or another. The priest concludes, begging that God would deign to admit us among them, certainly not for any merit of our own, but because of God's mercy. Not the least of his mercies, you know, is the little share of the cross he sends your way. The cross, did you ever think of it? Is the closest you'll get to heaven today. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what this means. But it calls upon us, not just on Sundays, but every day, for an attitude adjustment. You'll get to paradise, too, if you try not to complain too much. For it is surely true that if we suffer and die for Christ, why, that puts us with the saints in glory. And in any case, there's Peter's keys to the kingdom. And you know where to find them. Confidence and contrition, repentance and trust. For whom? For us sinners also. And we beat the breast where? Over the heart. Why? Because of the Sacred Heart. And that is where he must be. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.